I think we all sort of feel like we're flying by the seat of our pants, no matter what, whether you hit your first $1 million, you hit your first 50,000, you hit 5 million. We've never had the business at this stage before. So what do we need? And I will tell you, the first thing that we need as business owners is to constantly be learning. Hi, I'm Jacqueline Snyder, and this is the Product Boss Podcast. I've helped launch and grow thousands of product-based businesses, even one of my own. And over the last 20 years, I've seen behind the scenes of businesses just like yours. Whether they are makers, manufacturers, artists, or food and beverage businesses, I have spent so many hours studying it all. I've discovered what makes them successful. What are mistakes they could avoid? How did they turn an idea into a successful business? And what are strategies they have used to make more sales and be discovered by more customers? This is what this show is all about. Whether you're just starting out or you're looking to become a million-dollar product boss, I'm here to give you the permission to chase your dreams, no matter how big or small. All you need is the right mindset, a little courage, strategy, and support, and you too can be the next million-dollar product boss. Let's do this. Hey, product boss. When you're first starting a business, you want to ensure you have the correct systems in place. And what better system to have than a CRM that scales right along with you? That's exactly what HubSpot does. From marketing and sales to support and content and everything in between, HubSpot's all-in-one customer platform has you covered so you can boost your revenue and focus on what matters most to you, improving your customer's experience. They offer 24/7 customer support, integrations with more than 1,500 of today's most popular apps, and a huge collection of constantly evolving resources. Plus, with HubSpot's Startups program, you can save 30 to 90%. To see if you're eligible to join the HubSpot for Startups program and take your growth to the next level, visit hubspot.com/startups. Welcome back, product bosses, to another coaching session. I know you all are absolutely loving these coaching sessions. I keep seeing it in the reviews of the podcast. So thank you for leaving those incredible reviews. It means so much to me and really helps give me that feedback on how I can keep creating amazing content for you here on the podcast. Okay, so today is exciting because we get to talk about what happens when your business starts taking off, and how you keep up with a sudden demand and expand your sustainability, okay? Because I am talking with Aaliyah of Meet the Mushroom, who was recently featured on Shark Tank. And not only was she featured on Shark Tank, two sharks funded her and her husband's business. But even before then, her business was growing at a sustainable rate. She and her husband can't keep doing everything themselves. They have a young baby and they don't know what it looks like to get to that next level the way that they're currently doing things. So we're going to go deep into org charts and outsourcing on this one. So be ready to take some notes. I think we all need to be set up with really solid foundations and operations so that if we do have this incredible ability to have luck, and luck is defined as when opportunity meets preparation. And so if you all have an opportunity come your way, I want you to feel prepared. And that's how we can really double down on our luck. All right, let's dive in. We're recently on Shark Tank, and I'm so excited to get into the story because we were shouting from the rooftops on our social channels. But now I can say I actually know someone that has been on Shark Tank, and I have the honor to work with you inside our Inner Circle Mastermind.
Yes, so exciting. Oh my goodness, it's been a whirlwind.
It has.
2024 is kicking off in a great way.
It's your year, but it's kicking some booty. So tell us about Meet the Mushroom. Like, what is Meet the Mushroom?
Yeah, for sure. So my husband is my co-founder, and we sell a vegan bacon made of mushrooms. So we're a meat alternative, a plant-based meat alternative company. And Shoemaking is our very first product. It's had some very big viral moments on social media. We've had some really big influencers that have tried it. Tabitha Brown is really big in the vegan space. And she bought it as a customer and purchased it, tasted it, did a video about it. So it's really exciting. My husband is a vegan. He invented the product just in our kitchen. And we've been selling it since May of 2021, started at farmers markets. We're now direct to customer and wholesale too.
Amazing. So
Thank you. You
joined the Inner Circle Mastermind and you didn't reveal to us because you weren't able to yet. And then you found out right. that your episode was going to air on Shark Tank.
Right.
So that was something.
Yeah. It's so crazy because, so we taped it last year, right? We taped it last summer. And then when you tape it, you never know when it's going to air, or even if it's going to air. And you can't say anything until they give you word. And then they only tell you about 3 weeks before it actually airs. So you're just like going about your daily life. I think we were choosing a restaurant. We had a date night. I have a toddler and grandma was coming over to watch her. So we're like, where are we going to go eat? And we get this email and it's like, congratulations, we have an air date. You'll be on TV in 3 weeks. And we both looked at each other like, what?
You're like, no more dinner. We got to go back.
Exactly. So like then my brain is just like totally exploding. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, exciting though, for sure. And nerve wracking.
I remember because I got to like a pretty far stage in Shark Tank as well when I had Cuffs Couture. And I remember them telling me specifically like in your video, don't say you want to be on Shark Tank for marketing. Because you get it automatically, like whether or not you get funded or not, it brings attention to your company. So like, why would working with the sharks work for you and this, that, and the other? So I always thought that was really interesting. Like it didn't matter if you had a shark take you up on an offer or you didn't because all of a sudden you had these eyeballs, but you had, can you say like what happened? Like how many?
Yeah, for sure. So we had two sharks. So Lori and Mr. Wonderful went in on a deal with us. And so that was super exciting. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like the Shark Tank effect happens just by airing. Like just by airing, your sales go nuts. You know, they tell you be ready for that. But then if you get a deal too, it lends even more, you know, weight to your product. And especially if somebody like Mr. Wonderful who doesn't like anything, he comes and he says this is delicious. Then it's just like, oh, next level. You know what I'm saying? So absolutely. Yeah, definitely very exciting. And it takes a while to iron out everything. So we're just excited to like really hit the ground and get moving with them because still things are still, you know, in the works, but it's coming.
So imagine you all have 3 weeks. You find out in 3 weeks, you're going to air on national TV. Two sharks will take you up on that offer. It's about to rain. Do you have the buckets to catch it? Do you have the platform to hold the buckets? It's like $1 million that rain down on you, which we're all like, yeah, I wish I got the sales, but it's also this thing like out of the blue and you make a food product that has a shelf life, you know, that has to be refrigerated and kept in places. And so I think that's one of the things that I'm really honored and grateful that you joined the mastermind with me because I've been able to like work through a lot of this with you that you're like, okay, and I've got my people to turn to when it rains and I need the buckets and they overflow.
And it happened all at the right time. You know what I mean? Like when joining the mastermind and then getting this news, it was like, I need to talk to you right now. You know what I mean? Like, when can we have our one-on-one? Because I need help. You know? So it all happened at the right time because I was definitely excited. But honestly, I don't even think I had time to be excited. I was more overwhelmed.
No, it was like, news what are we going to do?
Because of how, you know, what's next?
Yeah.
Definitely.
And so I think, you know, and they say like the definition of luck is when preparation meets opportunity and you had all been building this company and you had the preparation and then the opportunity landed and people would be like, oh my God, you're so lucky, but you've been working your booties off. This is my new word
for sure.
To make this happen. I'll bet most business owners dream of this kind of overnight success, right? But of course, we all know that behind the scenes of that success is years of hard work. So what happens when that break finally happens? Your business hits that tipping point and suddenly you don't even have time to celebrate because you have to figure out how you're going to fulfill all of these new orders. You need a strategy that's going to help you with this new level of business. And that's what I'm going to talk to Aaliyah about next. So what we know is that your business last year was making, what, just about $200,000?
No, last year, we did $500,000 last year.
Okay.
In total sales. So so we started, when we talked to Shark Tank, remember that was like last summer, but we were able to close the year with $500,000 in online sales. So that was really exciting for us. And that was a big jump the year before that. So let's see, that was 2023. Year before that, we did 80,000. So we did a huge jump between 2022 to 2020.
That's insane. Yes. And then this year, since Shark Tank happened for you, really, was it in January?
Last week in January.
Yeah. So you've been doing 80,000 months since, which puts you on track to hit a million and beyond this year. So quantum leapt again.
Right.
And you have a toddler. You have your own life. You're in business with your husband. So let's get into sort of how I can help you. So you're currently, you said that your biggest struggle was scaling. So from manufacturing to points of distribution and like where you can take the business. So what do you want to dig into? Like what would be most helpful?
Yeah. So I feel like we're growing so fast, right? Even just our team. We had two people on full-time payroll and now we're up to seven people. And that's been over the course of what, 6 weeks, you know, so we're growing by leaps and bounds. Like we're just teaching people what they need to know to get the job done because it's just been survival mode. You know what I mean? So now that things have calmed down a little bit, I want to kind of go back to how do I really make these people a part of my organization? And I didn't have an organization before, right? I had like a business that felt like me, my husband and two other people. You know, and a few contractors to help me with social media and things like that. But now this is a lot bigger and I can see it like leaping this year. So I want to know, how do I scale my people and really create a company versus like a business?
I love that. Julie, who's in the mastermind with you, I got to see her at one of our one-day masterminds last week in Austin. And she has a beautiful big business as well. And she's like, I feel like I'm building a castle on top of IKEA furniture. Mm. Right?
That's a good way to explain it.
Not only on top of the IKEA furniture, but you also have three extra screws and you're like, were these supposed to go somewhere?
Exactly. Ooh, that's a great way to explain it. I love that. Yes, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
And there's a timeline to it. You know, you've got to build it by said date. Like you don't even have time to wait. So I'm like moving just at the speed of light, but I want to slow things down, but I can't. You know, so yeah.
I think we all sort of feel like we're flying by the seat of our pants, no matter what, whether you hit your first $1 million, you hit your first 50,000, you hit 5 million. We've never had the business at this stage before. So what do we need? And I will tell you the first thing that we need as business owners is to constantly be learning, right? Mm. So we're constantly searching out, like needing experts, guidance, whether it's a course or you joined a mastermind, whether you can hire on someone to come into your company to teach you how to create some sort of system. I think one of the biggest things that we can do as business owners is to be learning and learning from people who know more about that particular part. Not saying that they know more than us in general, but it's like, I need to learn how to organize this company or, you know, so I think that was the biggest shift for me when I switched over to really seeing my company grow was it was me in the way of not knowing what to do. So I would hold my company back almost like I had reins. I was afraid to go faster. And I like was so tight on the reins because I was like, I can't, if I like, what will happen if I speed up? I'm going to fall. So we just need someone to teach us how to do that.
Definitely. Cause we've gotten it as far as we can take it. And now it's like next level. Somebody else has got to come in for sure. That makes sense.
I just want to take a moment to drive this point home because it is so important. Nobody should expect to know how to adapt to a business twice the size of what they are used to overnight. You're going to have to adjust and learn, but you don't have to do it alone. You can enlist the help of other people who have already been there, like a coach or surrounding yourself by people who are doing the same thing or growing at fast rates inside of a mastermind, right? So to shortcut your growth and to cut down on those growing pains, this is something that I did. And I truly believe is one of the most essential things that helped me have the success that I've had. And to grow a business that's generated, you know, over $10 million is that I surrounded myself with people in a mastermind. I'm constantly in these masterminds and they're facilitated by coaches and experts that have done what I want to do. So I truly believe that the greatest thing you can do for your business is find a group of like-minded business owners and help each other grow. So do you want to dig into like who's on your team and the operations? Like, would that be where you want to go?
Yeah. So I think about my next hire, right? And we're pretty good right now, but I would say in the next 60 days, I'm going to hire somebody else, probably at the production level because we make our own product. And I would love next time around to have a suite of things that I give to them or a group of things that I talk to them about. But I don't even know what those things are. And I know I need an employee handbook with rules. So it's less about that, but more about like, what does that conversation look like? Like, hey, welcome to the team. Let's discuss. Let's talk about. Here are some things I want you to know, but I'm not even sure what those things are. Okay. And where do I begin working on those types of things, you know?
Awesome for you. I think to look at this and say, first, who do we need on the team? A lot of times, if I ask people who they need to hire, so many times people are like, I need a social media manager, right? They'll like, because the things that a lot of times we want to hire for the things that we actually just don't want to learn more about, or we want to get off of our plate. Mm-hmm. I think we have to look at when we're hiring, like, where are the bottlenecks in the company? What are the needle movers that we're becoming the bottleneck in? So for you, with this huge influx of sales and awareness and Tabitha Brown posting about it and all the things, is like, well, for one, we know that production, like you and I were working closely on, how do we have enough product to sell for like the people are going to be there? We actually don't have enough to sell to them.
Right.
And so we were thinking about strategy in that way, but it was like production, like how could we actually catch up with the demand? What does your leadership look like in the company? Like who's in charge of what? She's like me
and my husband. I'm in charge of everybody. No, me and my hubby are in charge of everything and everyone. It is pretty split between production is his domain and everything that's not production is mine. So I would love to say that just marketing is mine, but I dip a lot into the operations piece too. So let's say talking to our distributor, okay? Distributor gets the product from us and then drops it off at all the grocery stores that order, the chain grocery stores. So all the interactions with the distributor, that's me. You know, all the interactions about POs, and I just got off a long email thread when they're like, where's this PO? And I said, oh, I told you I wasn't sending it to until here. And the buyer said, that's okay. And no, they didn't. That's me. That's typically not a marketing task. And I don't want to do that task. But right now it is me, you know, whereas my husband is the very, when we say production, to me, that should fall under a production situation. Somebody over on his side should be doing that, but I don't have anybody to do it yet, or I haven't found how to train somebody to. And I don't know who that person, what that person's title would even be. You know what I mean? So I dip it a lot into that. I also dip a lot into the inventory and the buying piece for their production. So they might tell me something is low, or oftentimes I have a sixth sense about how fast they're going through certain packaging or materials. I just have a gut feeling like you guys haven't ordered or asked me to order our packaging. You know, how many is it already? And someone is definitely counting these things, but I don't physically look at the counts all the time. I just have a gut feeling of when I last placed an order, you know, for 24,000 packs. And then they'll say, oh yeah, we're down to 12,000. I'm like, I need to place the order again. Y'all need to tell me when it gets that low, because remember, there's an 8-week turnaround. But I'm the person that knows how long everything takes to come in. So a lot of times it all falls on. And again, that's something I would not like to do, nor do I think as a marketing. My zone of genius is the marketing piece. And the marketing doesn't feel like work, and it feels more exciting and fun. Whereas this other stuff feels like work. It feels annoying. It feels stressful.
Okay.
You know, so I'd like to get that off of my plate.
I love that. I love that you're able to say it. So would you say that you and your husband are both like it's hard to have two CEOs.
Yeah.
So would you be like CMO, like chief marketing officer, and he'd be CEO, or would you be CEO and he would be COO, like chief operations officer? Like, where do you think you land?
Yeah. I think on paper now, it's him as CEO and me as CMO, but I don't think that's accurate of our roles. Okay. I mean, I would tell him this if he were sitting next to me.
I mean, it's and, on a podcast, so no.
Oh, yeah. <Just kidding>. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, he'll hear it anyway. But yeah, so no, I don't think that's accurate. I think in an ideal world, I would love to split it where I'm CMO, he is chief operating, but then we'd need a CEO. And that's not somebody I have, can necessarily afford to have right now, you know?
would you rather sit in charge of the marketing? Because I know that comes more naturally to you, yes. Like in the mastermind, everyone goes to you and they're like, what should we do with ads? You're like, let me yeah. look at it for you. So CEO is like the visioning of the company, where you want to take it, like right. holding all of it. Do you want to hold all of that?
Okay. And it's funny because Jacqueline, really, he does have the big vision.
Okay.
So I honestly think he shouldn't even be CEO. You yeah, know, so that CEO is very detailed oriented. It's very, you know, the finer workings of things. And that's why I kind of step in to do it. I think he should be CEO because he thinks big. He thinks of the next product. He thinks of what funding we need. He's going down that rabbit hole about rounds of funding and all that good stuff. So I would love for him to be freed up from the inner workings and to be able to do that big vision thing, because it was his baby to begin with. You know, I came on,
right?
You know, okay. So I think he should be CEO for sure.
I love that clarity, because I know that we've had other conversations and it's like, you don't have the capacity also with your being a mom and having a young daughter and stuff like that, that like you've got other things you want to do as well, instead of worrying about like, are these packages going out to people?
That part.
Okay. Your partners. So we're going to just keep you on the same line. Okay. So C-suite, he's CEO. He holds the big vision. He innovates. He's visionary of the company. And you're chief marketing officer. You're the one who's going to help spread the word. So he visions the direction, like he points the star and is like, here's the compass, this is where we're going. And your job is to then let everybody know this is where we're going.
Gotcha. Okay. I like that. Yes.
Front house, not back house. So like not telling the team, it's more of, hey world, we're here.
Got it. Yes.
I think you need a director of operations, like a person below the two of you. So what's going to get you both out of the way of the growth of the company is somebody who can then take all of the stuff that you're talking about, all of the annoying stuff, because they love a spreadsheet.
Gotcha.
They love systems. They love operations. They love, give me all the information and I'm going to plan it out for you. That I think is a hire that's going to help move you away from pain and more into the enjoyment of this amazingly successful company that you both have built. By having a person. So the idea of like visionary integrator means the visionary is like, I am a true visionary. There's not a lot of integrator to me. So meaning like, I need people to help me get it done. I have all the big ideas, but I can't hold that other part as well. It's much harder for me to step into that. Some people say they get an integrator to their visionary. An integrator is the person that takes your ideas and then implements them. There's been a little bit of like, backlash to that you don't want to give all of your power to this integrator. Like you can't be like the integrator's got it all. So I've sort of switched it over that I have department heads, and but the person who sits below me is my director of operations.
Gotcha.
I need someone who is in charge of operations. We do not have to give people C-suite roles to handle the business, because that requires a much higher salary. You need someone who could manage operations, either an operations manager or a director of operations. The director of operations to me would hold it all together. So let's say Marvin and Aaliyah decide that they're launching a new flavor. Maybe you're going to come out with bacon bits. I don't know, right? You're coming out with some sort of new product. You two hold that vision together. You talk about like, what's the new product? When's it going to come out? You're like, hey, this would be all the marketing. And you might meet with your director of ops in it as well. And that operations person is like, how do I take that and get everybody else on the team involved? What needs to happen in development and production? What needs to happen with ads, right? They might even be managing back to you, Aaliyah, being like, hey, this is the schedule of the launch. Are you hitting these dates? So you get to stay in the creative, but they're just making sure that you're hitting the deadlines. So it's makes somebody who holds it all together. And then is like, holds your vision, knows we're here, we need to end up here. Like we're starting at A, we need to end up at Z. And they know how to get us from A to Z. And they're responsible for getting it through and then getting what they need from each person that works at the company.
Got it. Yeah. We started listening to Rocket Fuel. One of my good girlfriends told me to listen to it. And it's funny because when we first started, I would put it on around the house. Marvin, my husband, felt that I was the integrator to his visionary. But I said, actually, I'm also a visionary. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so miserable, because I'm being forced to be an integrator. And I actually just want to have big marketing ideas and then somebody else go integrate them for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, that's why I'm so uncomfortable, because I am that role for him because we have nobody else, but that's not really who I am.
Yes.
You know, so this director of operations makes really good sense. Why don't I have to have a chief operating officer? It's a lot more expensive. I get it. But why not? Like, and I guess my other question would be, where would I find this person? Like, would I put a job listing that says director of operations or ops manager, you know?
A lot of times we inflate job roles to be able to try and get the best, right? Mm. And so when you get into C-suite, there's no higher that they can go. They're going to mm-hmm. require a lot more money than $1 million mm. small business can do mm. at that level. And also then they have nothing to work towards. Mm. Now, CEO, CMO, CEO, all that, we bring it in because we think it's expected in a business, but you could also just be owner and founder and head of marketing, right? Like, you don't have mm. to have, neither of you have to have a C in front of any of it if you don't want.
Got it.
So okay. Unless this person is bringing to the table like literally everything, and they can make all the hires and they can make the decisions mm-hmm. and they can run all of operations without ever speaking to you, they're probably mm-hmm. not that either. They're not even a vice president level. So I think when we come out of corporate and we're used to the corporate structure and the corporate ladder, but a small business operates a little different. It makes so much sense that Marvin would see you as integrator, because he held the vision and you were like, all right, mm-hmm. how are we going to get it done? That's just mm-hmm. your personality. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just get mm-hmm. it done.
Right.
Yeah, by default. Right. But just because you can do it, if you are in drudgery, then no. If you are really good at it, if you're proficient at it, and you are, again, I think this is Michael Hyatt, and you're really proficient at it, you're good at it, and you really enjoy it, then that's your zone of genius. And so we want to keep everybody, especially if you're the owner of this company, we're not working for other people. Let's stay in our zones of genius. And I want you to stay in your zone of genius.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and I can totally see how I would feel differently about the work that I'm doing if I was in that zone of genius. And you saying that I could just be co-founder and head of marketing, or even could I one day just be an advisor, or you just ask me marketing questions? Okay. Is that a thing?
A cocktail?
Can I just be playing with my daughter and then someone says, marketing meeting, and I say, okay, didn't I'll come.
Marketing meeting, and you just said, like, send me my check. You can also do that.
Is that allowed? God.
Anything is
so
allowed.
Freeing. That's so freeing. That's my dream right there.
There it is. You can do whatever you want with this life. Okay. So
I know
you're in the really hard parts right now, but you're building this business to make it work for you. You don't work mm-hmm. for it. And you had a beautiful genius idea. Or you and your husband, right? You built this company. Mm-hmm. You've had such luck, and it is there. And so you'll just keep working your way towards it. But let's get you out of the drudgery zone. Let's move you into your zone of genius. And then as the company starts to grow and it makes more money, we are all replaceable. We can hire a CEO. So you have to just think through, like, none of this is permanent. And the bigger your company gets, like, it's not even about you anymore. The company is going to be its own third entity.
Yeah. Facts.
When you're just starting your business, it's likely you're doing all the things yourself. In Aaliyah's case, those things were split between her and her husband. That means you're going to be doing things you don't love doing or aren't great at. While that's fine at the start, as your business grows, you're only going to end up doing more of those things. So as you're hiring for your company, the first thing you need to do is identify what your role is going to be. What do you love doing? What do you hate but end up doing it anyways because it needs to be done? Define your role around your zone of genius, then start building out an org chart that's going to cover the rest. Hey, Product Boss. It is podcast recommendation time. This month, I'm all about the DTC Pod, hosted by Ramon Berrios and Blaine Bolas, which is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. DTC Pod is all about direct-to-consumer topics and covers everything from starting, growing, and optimizing e-commerce stores and direct-to-consumer brands. I absolutely loved the recent episode they did with Rosalie of Wild Wonder, who digs deeper into how she was able to bootstrap her multi-million-dollar beverage company. Rosa also dives into their omni-channel approach and how her brand continues to stand out in a crowded market. Sound familiar? Sounds a little bit like multi-stream machine. It works, my friends. All right, so you'll definitely leave feeling inspired. So go check it out. Remember, it's proof it can be done. Listen to DTC Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Product Boss. Okay, so I have been in business for over 20 years. I know, hard to imagine because I'm only 25 years old. But anyways, the thing is that I have built multiple businesses since I started my very first one at 26. And what I cannot believe is that I was able to build a multi-million dollar business at the age of 43. And what got me there was all of the steps and things that I did after being a decade into my business. It took 10 years for me to realize the things that I was doing wrong and the things that I needed to do and change and add to my life so that I could finally break through that plateau and hit revenue numbers that were beyond my wildest dreams. And honestly, sometimes beyond my nervous system be able to even handle it. So I wanted to tell you all of this because I love masterminds. It's the way that the Product Boss was founded, and it's something that I have done every single year of this business. It is truly the most connected way that I can connect with product bosses, work intimately with them, and help them create strategy to grow their business. And that's exactly what I did. A decade into running my business, struggling, having no one to talk to, no one to go back and forth about, like, I hired this person, they're not working out, what do I do with them? Or, you know, the business is growing really fast, or I don't understand my numbers, or I'm getting this really cool offer for sales. I didn't have anyone to talk to. So because I love masterminds so much, and my mastermind happening right now, our first cohort is so awesome. Shout out to my masterminders. I wanted to tell you that we're now enrolling for cohort number 2, which is kicking off this spring. Okay, we're starting the first week of April. So if you are a product-based business owner who's making over $100,000, you could be making 6 figures, on your way to 7 figures, even multiple 7 figures, and you are so tired of doing this alone, you have had major growth. I had one of my masterminders, Julie, recently say that she feels like we're building a castle on top of IKEA furniture because she's so afraid that all of this amazing stuff that she's building could just crumble because she doesn't have the right systems in place. Or I had another masterminder who had such an incredible opportunity. She was able to come back to our group and to me, and we were able to coach her through the whole thing. So then when, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars came her way, she was able to do it, right? And other masterminders that have thought, hey, I'm going to think about adding a new product. Should I add it? You know, this one's really costly. I'm not selling a lot of them. I'm thinking about adding a new thing. She was able to bounce those ideas off of me and those in the Inner Circle Mastermind. And so if this sounds like anything that is like, I need this, I am looking for that high level strategy and support. I'm looking for a group of people who just get it. I would love to be surrounded people that just encourage me to go after my goals, the ones that I've dreamed of. Then that's exactly what the Inner Circle Mastermind is. It's this incredible community of product bosses that have come together that want to connect, that want to grow, that want to learn from each other. A couple of people said, I didn't even know the questions to ask, or I didn't even know that I didn't know that, right? Because they're learning from each other and they're learning from me. So I am so excited to say that we're enrolling our next cohort. There are a few spots left. So if you are interested in submitting an application to join, then all you have to do is head to theproductbossmastermind.com. I cannot wait to see your application come through. I'll put a link in the show notes and I'll hope to see that come through. Okay, now back to the show. What are the other departments that are at your company? Like, if we were to break them up into departments.
So we have production. Okay, that's who's actually making things. I do have someone who I brought in. She's phenomenal. I don't have her just doing this. She also works production a couple days a week because I don't have the budget yet for her to be full-time. But she's an operations coordinator. So she has taken a lot of the tedious writing up, packing lists and sending, you know, coordinating some of the transport and all that. She's taken a lot of that off my plate, and that's just since January. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten free of some of it. I would say probably about 25% of the operations stuff. So I have her, then I have someone who is a lead as far as like the production of the product is concerned. Then on the other side of things, I have someone who was my admin and she did a lot of assisting. I have moved her into the position of, I call her wholesale relationship manager. And she's someone, she has such potential and drive and sales experience. I can see her going after new business. Or for example, when I go to a trade show, she comes with and she talks to new grocery stores. And then when we roll out into grocery stores, she contacts their marketing to coordinate the rollout. So we're supporting them and it can be successful, you know, all that good stuff. So I have her, I have a social media manager who's taking on more. She's now working with partnerships. So she does a lot with influencers. And she's going to step up and start doing some partnerships with some blogs and magazines. So she's social media, Instagram primarily. I'm training her to do email marketing, which is something I currently do. Wholesale customer service manager. She also oversees all customer service. So I have another part-time person who deals with the online customer service piece. So there's two people in customer service. Then I have someone who just creates emails for me. I currently do write all the email content. But they go in Klaviyo and they actually make the graphics and make it pretty and schedule it and do all that stuff. That's just a part-time situation. I think that's it. And then I have my publicist who I love. I just started with her and she's really instrumental with partnerships too. Like she's getting us some, working on some connects with restaurants and things. She's down in Atlanta. So amazing. I've got a great team of women around me, you know, on the more an office end of things. Okay. That are doing a lot. And I think that I can parcel off bits of myself to each of them.
Okay. So do you like being involved in sales?
No, I don't.
Okay. So you don't love it right now, but that's where you sit.
Yes. Who talks to a new grocery store? Who does a presentation to a restaurant? That's me. Who goes to trade shows? That's me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hmm. I'm going to go through some of like the departments that you might need. Okay. So you've got, talked about the executive management, right? Like the C-suite. Do you have, who's in charge of finances? You?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yeah. But I just brought on, I had a bookkeeper only. Now I have an accountant and bookkeeper.
Okay. So you may eventually, especially once your business, I think, crosses that $1 million mark, which right now you've got like month over month, $80,000. So that means we're on our way.
Yeah, on trends for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So you may eventually, and you can ask your bookkeeper if they offer CFO, fractional CFO.
Role.
You don't need it yet. You don't need to hire this person. We don't have a in-house CFO. We have a fractional CFO. And that is someone that helps you with like financial planning, financial risks. So the record keeping, the accounts receivable, that's all bookkeeper. The tax and tax strategy is all CPA. But the financial planning and thinking like, oh, we want to come out with a new product. For example, that person would look at your numbers and say, okay, you have X amount of dollars to do this with. Can you do that? So they're kind of the suckiest person to me in the business because I don't want anyone to let me know you can't afford it.
Okay.
Say it more of like, but I just want to do it. And they're like,
right, well, but why can't money. I? So they would sit, put their foot down and say no.
So a fractional CFO, when I say they suck, is just, they don't really suck. I love our fractional CFO. It's that he will say to me like, oh, you're going to host an event? Here's your budget. I'm like, I have a budget.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
And also he held our feet to the fire and was like, okay, what are your projections for this year? We need to know what the projections are so we know like what our tax hold is going to be, what we have to make month over month. Are we going to hit payroll? You know, like as your business grows, like there's this conversation. So that is someone that you can hire. That's not a huge expense. It will be cheaper than you hiring it like in-house. And so you can always ask when you start to feel like you need this, that would be a role I would bring in eventually, but to start.
Not yet.
Yeah. You don't have
after we hit a million.
Yeah. And you need other people involved, but that's just so you know, you won't have to hold that forever.
Okay. Got it.
So these are some other departments that would fall underneath a product business. You'd have research and development, which design technically happens in there if you're like creating shirts and stuff like that. But it's like the research and development, the people who are like, they oversee the new product development and innovation in your company.
Okay. That's Marvin now.
He can sit in two roles.
He would love to stay that way. That's what he loves. But
Under him, yeah.
People can sit in different seats. They just, you can't make two people responsible for the same outcome. So that's when things start to get messy. So he can still sit as CEO and head of research and development. He can have both seats in the org chart. Then you're not in of research and development. Like you're not in charge of new product development. Like that's what he owns. Now, if he has people below him that execute, but he owns that responsibility within the company.
Got it. Yep.
Okay. And then other, like, let's say for food, eventually there could be food scientists, right?
Facts. Yeah.
Product development specialists. So whether he's going to hold the entire research and development department, he absolutely can. There could be eventually that it's him and an assistant. So the assistant does the follow through.
The testing, the shelf life testing, all the things. Yes.
So it's like while he's innovating, there has to be someone that maybe is in charge of all of the steps of product development and innovation. And they know like, okay, they're the product development specialist or whatever that focuses on bringing that new product from concept to reality. So then they work closely with whether you have the food scientist, your production teams, like they're in that front end part and then they know the steps that need to go through with it. So there might be an assistant. Again, this person might already be on your team. It kind of goes back into the operations and admin part. Like all of us as visionaries still need the people who are going to get it done for us. So each of my departments at my company, there's the team lead and then they probably have an assistant to do the stuff they don't want to do. They used to do it all. But now it's like instead of if Lauren's in charge of sales and revenue and she needs to update a sales page to make sure we can sell off that sales page, she used to do it all, but now she has an assistant for that. So she's like, okay, I can be high level and then I have my assistant go in and operate and do this.
And actually do it. Yeah. Got it.
So I'm just going to talk you through it. It doesn't mean this is all.
Yes. No, I like it. I'm taking sticky notes.
Okay. Then you have production. So these can technically be the same department technically, but they're also separate in a lot of ways because one's before the other. And Marvin can be in technically ahead of both of them. Like, so it might be that if we looked at this as an org chart and Marvin's name was at the top, research and development meets with him and your director of ops and production meets with him and director of ops. You, Aaliyah, stay out of it.
Yep. Like it.
They do not report to you. That's not that's not your part of the business. That's a their side.
Gotcha.
So you have your director of operations, the whole business. But you might want a production manager. And potentially the production manager might be able to also manage research and development. So they might be able to hold both. But we need someone who's really skilled in production operations. They love efficiency. They understand product quality. Like they come from this background. And then they're the people who manage the other people. So you said you have like other people helping cook or make or any of that. And potentially they're getting it to finished goods to like storage, right? There might be a secondary part where you add on someone who does like the supply chain and logistics person. But supply chain and logistics, which is another part, that person manages the suppliers, the raw materials, logistics distribution. So I jumped a little bit. So we went from research and development to production. So production would have like a production manager that oversees all the production operations. They make sure it's efficient and there's quality. You may add on or have people that are responsible for like quality assurance, QCing, making sure it meets the standard regulations. Again, you might already have these people on the team, but then you just assign to them like, hey, this is your job.
Right. Gotcha.
And people who are just staff, like the operations of production, right? People who are just involved in the making
process. Right.
You don't manage them. Marvin doesn't manage them. Your production manager manages them.
Got it. Yep.
And then skipping to like if we stay on like the making side of it all, supply chain and logistics. You pulled out of the are we no longer working with the distribution center?
Done.
Okay. Woo! So that's like the supply chain and logistics, right? So you've had to bring it back in-house. You were working with someone who really messed things up. It's not for all fulfillment centers, but this just happened to have happened. So your director of operations may be able to hold this. They can still hold parts of these jobs. They just sit in different seats. You're like, hey, you're in charge of the whole company, but like, can you also handle this part?
Gotcha.
And director of ops also should be able to hire for you. So they should see the gaps. they work with your finance team and say like, can we hire? Can we not hire? And then they'll look at like the gap. So it doesn't have to be on you or Marvin.
Would tell them if they could hire, or would it be just the accountant that would say they we could hire? You know what I mean? How deep would they have to go?
You can talk to your accountant because they might have some CFO's parts to them. Okay, so they're thinking through projections. They're like, well, you make $80,000 a month, your X amount of profit. How much do you want to pay this person? Oh, you want to pay them $30,000, $40,000, $60,000, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, you could do that. Your profitability is going to drop to this, but that's okay because it means you can scale it and we'll get back on. Like, that's just the data you might be looking for.
Got it. Okay.
So you're looking for someone who just handles, like coordinate if you're working with grocery stores and like all the stuff. So we need someone who can handle the raw materials, like you said, writing the POs, getting the types of mushrooms that you need, overseeing the logistics of distribution, managing suppliers. This sounds like death to me. Like this sounds like drudgery. And you and I are both creatives and in marketing. So it makes a lot of sense why you hate it. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. Just give it to me and I'm going to eat it and take pictures of it.
I don't care. I just want to know. I don't care how many packs you have. I'm just going to sell them.
Yes.
Just want to keep selling them and marketing and making cool ways and building the email list. I don't want to know that we don't have enough stuff.
Yes.
Don't tell me.
So you need the person, again, if they sit amongst production, if they sit in all the places, but you just need to replace you in that role. So every time you do it, I want you to write down the stuff that you do and we can jump to like how you train for it in a sec. But this is the part that, again, supply chain logistics, not in your wheelhouse.
Got it.
On my team, the people who, there's a company called Saturday Morning Pancakes, I think, or Sunday Morning Pancakes. Mm. And they have a shirt that says like, lady in the streets, freak in the spreadsheets. So that could be a question when you're hiring.
Right, gotcha.
Would you wear this or not? And if they're like, oh my God, I love it. And then they're your person. It.
Okay, you got the job.
If they're like, I hate a spreadsheet. You're like, you're not the person.
Nope, it's not you. I'm writing spreadsheet lover. Spreadsheet. Under supply chain and logistics.
So human resources could land in the DO role, right? Because that's the part of like overseeing hiring, training, all that recruitment, all that that can sit in DO. So you might need a director of operations and then a production, like someone in charge of food operations. So I think maybe one holds the company, the other one holds development and production operations.
Yeah.
We have the raw goods that we have the amount that we ordered, all that. Would be two people.
Are they equal, Jacqueline?
No.
Or is one a little bit?
Director of ops, it's right below you. So
got it.
All of us as CEOs, CMOs, like owners of our businesses, we should only ever have five people reporting to us. That's it. And everybody else on the teams reports to them and then report to us.
Okay.
So including your finance and accounting, if that's one of the people, then like you may not ever talk to anyone in supply chain, right? That might all up to like your director of ops and your director of ops says it back to you, for example.
Got it. Okay.
So if you think about this as an org chart, you two sit up here. I put a director of ops below. They're the blocker between you and them. And then we would have our different departments. So if we want to simplify this, probably put R&D in production. You can even just do product as a, like, I don't know the exact word, but product can be a department. So that includes research. So then as a tree, it's there. And then it's research and development, production, supply chain and logistics are three different arms to that. And then you see who needs to sit. And then you see underneath each one of those, who needs to happen. So if it's production, we have like a production manager and then we have like the staff. So maybe two people are in charge of cooking and then one person's in charge of packaging. One person's in charge of QC. And even if it's the same name that's in all three seats, you put the same name in all three seats because if you had to swap that person out and hire someone, you could just swap the person's a different name in. But that role exists in your company.
Got it. I got it.
As you can see, there is a lot that goes into building out an org chart for your business, and we're not even done yet. I want to point out that as we've been going through this, each role does not have to be done by one person. Aaliyah and her husband have been handling all of these roles since the beginning, whether they realize it or not. We're just putting names to it all. As you grow, it's okay for a person to fill multiple seats. Over time, you'll need to expand your team and divide the workload accordingly. I just want you to know that there is flexibility in this process and There is no one-size-fits-all approach. Do what works best for you and your business right now. And know you can always change in the future. Then there's like the operations part of it. So under operations can sit customer service and accounting, human resources. So operations can hold all of that. And your director of ops can manage that department technically as well. So they might be, your DO might be in charge of human resources to start. Your DO might be the person that meets with finance and accounting, which is your contractors that you've brought on. And then probably customer service, you're going to want one person that sits in the customer service seat. You don't need a manager to that. Like, it's just someone might have to manage them, which might be the director of ops, but this is just the person that trains them is like, okay, you get requests like this. This is how you answer it. You need to do returns. This is the process.
Got it. Yep. And the finance could be the fractional CFO person?
Yeah.
Okay.
And your CPA and your accountant. That also center. It's okay if they're outside companies. You just want to see where it is on your org chart and who is responsible for that arm of the business. So operations would be responsible for finance, accounting, customer service.
And customer service. Okay.
HR. And then we move to the side that we like a little bit more. Keep is the same or separate, but marketing and sales. So the easiest way is keeping it one department.
Okay.
And having, like, that's the easiest. If you felt like it needed to be split, there'd be marketing and there would be sales. So when you listed out the people on your team, there's head of marketing, which would be you, right? You're developing and implementing the strategies that you're promoting the products. Like, you know what who the target market is. You're like, this is the big idea. Marketing is also probably going to hold the vision and the visuals of the company. So, you know, product development's like, here's the new product. Great. Someone has to like design and develop the packaging, get the photos. You may decide that comes back over to you. Marketing is a little different than like packaging and brand building, but we can kind of keep them together.
Okay.
But you hold the vision. So you're like, oh, because I live on your website, you have like the little mini mushrooms and like it's the orange holding the bacon. Like it's a cute visual. And so you have that, you have the vision part of the company. Right. Like, how do we take bacon made out of mushrooms and make it something somebody wants to buy? I think you hold a lot of that.
Yeah, I would agree. And I can see that remaining.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I could see, I would love to have the vision, communicate the vision, and then somebody else go make the graphics and stuff. Like I make the whole website.
Right.
So everything on a website I do, you know what I mean? So I would love for somebody else to.
Right. So that will be eventually where you just sit in the marketing sales seat and eventually you can hire people below you, right? You could hire someone who's head of content or a marketing manager long-term that they can meet. Like eventually we can replace you in that role too, where you're not managing the day-to-day of it. Right now you are.
Right.
So then you have to think about the different places that marketing happens. We've got ads, and I think you're in charge of ads.
Yes. It's going to be the cheapest for us.
Yeah. So eventually like that could be replaced, but you know, right now you're in charge of ads or you could train someone into that. So there's organic and paid and there's partnership. So you're doing paid. Then there's organic, which is why you have the social media person.
Social media, right.
So there's short and long form content. So short form is like social media, potentially Pinterest, things like that. And long form is like emails. And that's why marketing and sales goes together, because if you're dropping a new flavor, or let's go back to my make-believe bacon bits, you're dropping bacon bits. Marketing needs to work with, so they need to know, okay, research and development is going to be done at this point. Production is going to be done at this point. We're ready to launch. Marketing and sales have been planning out the launch. And then they're thinking, okay, what do we need to start to say? What do our customers need to know? What are the photos we need? When are we going to release it? What are we showing on social? What kind of emails are going out? And what is our goal of sales? So that's sort of where like you might have a copywriter, someone who does like copy, which updates the website and product descriptions. This is where you need just like a general assistant potentially that you're training into the stuff you don't want, like updating the website. Eventually they may end up as like the tech-ish person that handles like your e-com.
Got it.
So marketing and sales is kind of, you're going to do like the content. So the lead generation. So that's what you so far have been holding. Again, write down the stuff you don't want to do anymore. You're like, oh, this is like I can do it, but it's not like my zone of genius. It just kind of a waste of time. Eventually you can train someone into that. And then sales, you might still be sitting in this. Hiring a sales lead, you start to get into commissions and all this other stuff. Cause people who are really good at sales are really good at knowing, like, I'm going to hit my numbers and I'm going to crush and I'm going to make, they've got like that sales targets and then they want commissions and stuff like that. So you may not be ready for that part yet, but you might have someone just who handles. So let's say grocery stores are coming in.
Right. I do. Now I have my admin. It goes, if you're a grocery store and you want to carry it, your email goes right to her and she talks about pricing and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So she's just the, she's the kind of like you were saying, customer service, but in charge of your accounts. Yeah. So, and then she's tracking that. And then there's systems built in of like, okay, are we getting them to reorder? What's happening? What's the sell through? Like, let's deal with them.
Right.
So that's where marketing and sales splits off. There's like the content part. There's the advertising, there's partnerships, and then the sales part is dealing with you're doing direct-to-consumer e-com sales. So who's handling like the updates on the website and also managing, like if marketing is going to come up with a campaign, it needs to be updated on the website. So you're probably doing it all right now. So you'll want to just break this into systems or like flows that eventually can become repeatable processes.
Got it.
And then anyone on your team that shows that they can handle this and you're like, this person's a rock star, you train them up because they're being trained within the company versus you need to go find outside people.
Got it. Okay.
Anytime now that you're going through a process of doing something, start to document it.
Okay.
So you can use Loom, LOOM.com.
Yep.
That's where I record my screen. So let's say you're like, I'm going to log into the back end of my Shopify store and I'm going to update the product description on this thing. You just Loom the whole thing. This is how I log in. This is where I find the product. This is what I do. Talk through it.
Okay.
And then when you hire someone to do it, you're like, watch this video.
Okay.
And then ask me questions.
Got it.
And when you train someone, the goal will be that they learn from you, they do it better, and then have them record the process. Have them update the process. They might have a more efficient way of doing it.
Got it.
So my team does stuff between writing out SOPs. So when this happens and you do this, then you do this. We have like documents for it. For how I work better, I would rather just Loom it and pass it to someone who's better at the spreadsheet and then have them document it.
Got it. Okay.
But just start to record the processes however best you can record them so that when you bring someone in, you're like, watch this video, read this sheet, listen to this training. And then they ask you questions. They are not allowed to ask you questions before they...
Until they've done due diligence.
Watch it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I like.
Okay.
If I do that for a couple month or two, I'm going to have a lot of videos and a lot of stuff will be... I will train people on already. You know what I mean? I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
So to hold you accountable, what is the first department or section of stuff that you currently hold that you would like to record, train on, and get off your plate?
I think the first would be stuff to do with this supply chain and logistics. And I've already passed on a good amount of it, but I still hold probably about 50% of it. So the stuff that has to do with ordering, keeping inventory stocked, and then the organizing of getting finished product here, there, and everywhere, that can definitely go to my, I already have an operations coordinator. So not a true, you know, operations director of operations, but I have a operations coordinator and that can totally go to her.
And do you like her? Think, like you feel like she's strong?
No,
like
I love
you
her.
Train her up?
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
But is she able to hold the whole company or would she be more of the operations for the R&D production and fulfillment?
I think she would be mostly operations for production and fulfillment.
Okay.
I'm going to have to work with my husband to figure out how to offload the R&D. He's never had anybody even help him. You know what I mean?
Let's just have him document the last one. And with him, you might just say, hey, I had this meeting with Jacqueline or he can listen to this episode. Mm-hmm. And then like,
right.
And then you could just say like, hey, can you just track your process? Like anytime you can just kind of like, Like I had to do this for my team because I did this in fashion where we had a lot of people. So we had to like have check-ins. Like I would design something and I'd have to bring it to my creative director and they'd have to be like, yes or no. And then I'd have to go back and work like iterations. So with my current team, I'm like, we're going to use what I did in fashion. We're like, hey, if I give you a project to go do, we just did this yesterday. They had to create a workbook and she gave it to me last night. And she's like, hey, there's this workbook. I need your approval. I'm sending it out tomorrow. And I was like, not approved. Why are you giving it to me the day before it's due, right? Like, if you went through my process last week, should have been where I got to look at it to give everybody enough time to go back in and fix it, bring it back to me again for approval, and then fulfill to the end customer.
Got it.
So you may just want to that can be last because it doesn't seem like it's the biggest pain point for you. But long term, maybe when you start to figure out how you document, you can say, hey, try documenting.
Show him how.
So let's move her then. So what's her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. She's awesome. Okay. So let's move Tiffany into starting. You're going to step through this. You're going to train on it and you're going to start to pass to her. And you're going to just. So one of the things when you're hiring is the onboarding and training. And we give people 90 days. To learn the role. And if they have not hit it at 90 days, there's a bigger issue at play. If they've done it in 90 days, you know, we have to look, did we train them right? Are they not trainable? Is this not the right position for them? So yeah. So I think then let's work with Tiffany first and move you out of that part of the drudgery. You start to train on it and you start to pass to her.
Yep. I think that's very doable.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's
step one.
We're going to get you out of that stuff.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, and then you're going to get good at that and you're going to move to the next one. And then you're going to be on a beach with your daughter.
I know. I can't wait. That's the plan.
This time next year.
Me and Laura in the sands while everybody else is doing stuff. I'm collecting a check.
You're collecting the check. Right, you're like, put it on the room. Amazing.
Well,
okay.
Awesome.
Good. You're doing such a good job. And this is, you know, going back to the analogy of like building a castle on IKEA furniture that's missing screws. Right. Thank you, Julie, for that. Right. It's the idea of like we all grow and like no matter what stage of business you're at. So it's like whenever we can come back to the operations and systems and like a strong foundation, we have to do this at every stage of our company.
Right.
But we just have to keep coming back. And like you've had such quick and massive growth. I mean, you've leapt year over year.
Yeah.
It's all normal.
Right.
And then you're just going to keep figuring it out as you go, you know?
Got it. Okay. I'm with it. This is encouraging. Thank you. I got a plan.
Amazing.
It sounds good.
So if we want to buy from you and support you, how can we do that?
Oh, so meetthemushroom.com. So it's meatthemushroom.com. And we are restocking this Friday. So we should be in stock for a while now. But definitely get on. I have a friends and family list. It's easy. You can comment friends on any of my Instagram posts and you'll get like a link so that you can get it at a discount and you'll know ahead of time when we restock.
Amazing.
That's the best way.
Hooking up product bosses. Yes.
Yeah,
you're hooking up product bosses. Other people that are in it with us.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Friends and family list is the bomb. That's the only way to shop.
Amazing. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you. This has been awesome. Thank you, Jacqueline. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Okay. Wasn't that great? As you heard, it can be hard to find excitement that happens when your business takes off because you immediately have to shift into the thought of how do I meet all of this demand? Each new level brings different problems and the stakes of failure are even higher. The good news, you don't have to do it alone. Coaching, courses, masterminds, and entrepreneurial communities just like this one can help you by sharing the knowledge of those who have been in your shoes before. And if you are making over $100,000, multiple six figures, your seven figures or beyond that, and you're interested in joining my Inner Circle Mastermind, the same one that Aaliyah is currently in, remember that if you're listening to this in real time, applications are closing on March 22nd. Now, if you're listening to this in the future, we are always growing our waitlist for the next cohort when spaces open up. So all you have to do is head to theproductbossmastermind.com. We'll drop that in the show notes just to make it easy for you. And don't forget to share this episode with a product boss in your community who you know it would help. Remember, what goes around comes around. So let's all help each other grow and thrive. Remember, my friends, there's room at the top for all of us. Okay, I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for being here and listening all the way through the Product Boss Podcast. If you love our show and it has helped you in any way in your business, would you mind doing two things for us? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Reviews help other product entrepreneurs know that this is the place to be to grow their businesses and realize that they're not alone. And we know that you all know that a 5-star and honest review helps you sell more products to more people. So you know that your reviews help us reach more listeners around the world. Remember, what we give is what we receive, and we are all about helping each other in the Product Boss community. We are all in this together. We would be so appreciative of you if you could take the time right now to subscribe, leave a review, and even share this episode on social or someone you know so we can impact more lives. And remember, subscribing means that you will get notified each time we release a new episode so you never miss a thing. You have helped us grow and climb into the top 10 of all marketing podcasts, and together we can keep climbing. Thank you, friends. And remember, there is room at the top for all of us.